chapter 12. Bet y'all feel like it's a bait and switch tonight, right? Wait, you still got a mic. I used to work with this guy named Michael Bateman, and we used to tell everybody that. One way or another, you're going to get a mic. It's a Michael Bateman switch. Matthew chapter 12. I've really been giving a lot of thought lately because when you see what's happening in the press and you see what's happening in the society that we live in, it becomes apparent that they will do anything to disparage the name of Jesus. It almost doesn't matter what you do as long as, or what religion you insult, as long as it has Jesus in it, then you can insult it and it's okay. But I have noticed also that this has left a great vacuum. It's left a lot of people wondering what the truth was, wondering about the historical Jesus, wondering what eternity means for them, especially when things go wrong in life. And isn't that the time when you need the most assurance? I mean, when you're standing there and all your debts are paid and, you know, things are going fine, you don't need a whole lot in the way of assurance, you know. But when things start to go wrong and you begin to make the best decisions you can with the greatest amount of wisdom that you've got and things still go wrong, then you begin to question, oh God, what is it? You know, what's going on with me and where are you? And you begin to, and you seek peace of heart. And let me tell you something. Let you know a little secret. You're not going to find it in a spouse. You will not find peace of heart in a spouse. You will not find it in education. You won't find it in drugs. You're not going to find it in music. There's only one place to find it, and that's in Jesus Christ. Yeah. And so I thought it might be interesting to see what Jesus says about himself. Now, here's the thing about it. We're going to get to four verses, hopefully quickly. When Mike comes in, I'm going to wrap up. So we got to move a little bit here, guys. Okay, we got to move a little. But here's the thing, that when you run into something so great that you have no words to describe it, the very best thing you can do is to compare it to other things and say, well, it's kind of like that, only a whole lot better. Right? What's it like being married to your best friend? Amen. Well, it's sort of like your best friend. See, that's always been my thing, you know. I met Eddie in the Army, and he was my best friend in the Army. And then when I got out of the Army, I came here and I met his sister. And I thought, hey, it's like having my best friend in a much better package. And now she is my best friend. And Eddie plays second fiddle. And see, that's what you have to do. You say, well, I don't know what to say about it. I don't have words to describe what it is. But I can compare it and say it's sort of like that, only a whole lot better. So that's what Jesus does. Here in Matthew chapter 12, we're going to go right here, down here in verse 6, he says, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Now, hold your place there, because we're going to come back to all these. I want to at least get them all read so that we can at least have gotten through them when Mike gets here, okay? The probably a page or so over, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So far we got two of them down. He says, first of all, I kind of like the temple, only a whole lot better, greater than the temple. Kind of like Jonas, only greater than Jonah. Amen. But he's not done yet. Next verse. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment against this generation, and shall condemn it. By the way, just hold it there for a moment. I want you to understand what he just said. He didn't say that people who were ignorant were going to condemn you. He didn't say that somebody who didn't know what was going to go on, what was happening, was going to condemn that generation. He said somebody who knew what was going on, who knew what it was to look for something great and found the great thing she was looking for, that one is going to say, how could you be so foolish? You have one greater than Solomon and you did not repent. That's what he says about the men of Nineveh. Jonah was a lousy preacher. I mean, he had great results. Thank God for that, right? Thank God we don't have to be great preachers to get great results. I mean, it helps sometimes, but nothing really helps like the Holy Spirit. And Jonah, I mean, think about it. He walks through and says, you know, 40 days, and Nineveh's done for, you know, is it? And wow, what great results he gets, you know? Talk about hellfire and brimstone preaching. There was no grace in there. And those men repented. Think of what it's going to be like for 21st century America. Where you can get the word of God at the dollar store. It's available everywhere. You've got the news every prophet in the Old Testament wanted to have. You've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember when Jacob was wrestling all night with the angel of the Lord? And he says, tell me his name! I want to know his name! And the angel says, no way, I'm not telling you. Put his hip out of joint. He wanted to know that name. He wanted to know a name to call upon. He wanted to know a name that would save him. He wanted to know the name of God. And he was denied that privilege. And you have it. This generation has it. No wonder the men of Nineveh are going to rise up and judge. So he says, she's going to rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. There is such a thing as condemnation. There is such a thing as condemnation. There is such a thing as being placed into judgment such that you die and go to hell. There is such a thing. Do you think Jesus is saying this lightly? Do you think this is some flippant remark? Consider who he's talking about. He is about to address them about himself. And he's trying to make the contrast so neat and clean that everybody can see it. I was meeting with a friend for dinner a little while ago. I guess a couple years back. And she said, I can believe a lot of things, but I don't know that I can believe that there's only one way, and that's Jesus. And I said, well, I can believe a lot of things, you know, but I can't believe you're so stupid you'd believe in three ways. She goes, well, how can there be only one way? I said, how could there be more than one? What would you want, 10? That number is probably too small. What would you want, 100? Well, somebody would say, well, my way isn't in that 100. I want there to be 101. And somebody else would come along and say, well, my favorite way isn't in that 101. I want 102. No, God is sensible. He made one way. And Jesus is saying, it is possible for you to be condemned. And not necessarily by the people you live with now, but by people who have come and already gone. People who have come and in their day heard the word of God and turned their hearts as much as they could, as dim as that light was. Turned their heart. And they look at you and say, with all the light you had, with all the New Testament, with all the knowledge of the gospel, with the knowledge of the name of God, with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you of all people should fail to come to a saving knowledge of Christ, you deserve punishment. That's what they'll say. That's what he's hinting at. So he says, she shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. What a thought! Look over in John chapter 5. We only have a little bit of time to go this way. We won't have very long there.
You don't know.
He might not even arrive. You don't know. John chapter 5. Verse 36. And he says, I have a greater witness than that of John. Now think about it for a moment. John had a pretty good witness, didn't he? Think about the witness that John had. It was such a convincing witness that when Jesus Christ is facing the Pharisees and they're trying to do everything they can to entrap him, you know, they got their little philosophy scheme stuck up there, you know, their little, can God make a rock so big he can't lift it kind of nonsense, you know, and they got all that junk built up there and they're trying to trap him and of course he does his little sidesteps everything they throw at him and then he turns around to him and he says, I got a question for you. You answer my question, I'll answer yours. And so I can just imagine the Pharisees are sitting there like a bunch of college professors. I think we can handle this one, guys. What do you think? Yeah, I think we can handle it. Yeah, let's take him on. All right. Shoot us with your best question there. And he says, the baptism of John, was it from men or was it of God? And they think to themselves, oh, we had to pull that one. Of all the stinking tricks to pull, he had to pull that one out, didn't he? Did you ever try that with an atheist? I love that. I'd say, okay, guys, what is your problem? They say, well, I got a problem with evil. Okay, what's your problem with evil? Well, if there is a God, and he's all-powerful, he can't be both all-powerful and all-loving, because if he was all-powerful, he could do something about it, about evil, and if he was all-loving, he'd want to do something about it. So he's either not all-loving or he's not all-powerful. And I look at him and I say, I got a question for you. I'll be happy to resolve the problem of evil for you if you'll be happy to resolve this one problem for me. Okay, what is it? How do you know there's any such thing as evil? Unless there's such a thing as good. And if there's such a thing as good, where did you get that idea from? So, John had a great testimony. Because he had all those who came out, and he had the testimony of the move of the Spirit, and he had the testimony of repentance. And he cried out to the Pharisees, who's warned you to come to me? And he baptized those there in the river. And Jesus says, but my testimony is greater. What's his testimony? His testimony was blind men who received their sight, dead who were raised to life, lives that were changed from humble fishermen who made a living to mighty preachers of God. That was his testimony. And I bring this out for the following reason. Because Jesus, having no greater way to express what he was, uses those four comparisons. He says, I'm greater than the temple. Amen. The temple was a place to meet with God. I am God! The temple was a tabernacle. First, it meant God, a place where God met with men. I am the way that God meets with men. He says, a greater than Jonah is here. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. And I had to tell the whale to spit up. I am going to conquer the grave after 3 days and 3 nights. And it'll be all over for death. He says, and a greater than wisdom than Solomon is here. The queen of the south came to hear his wisdom. And you have never heard wisdom like mine. And a better testimony than that of John. John did great things and died. I'll do great things and live forever. He had no better way to show himself. Now, Brother Mike is here. I'm going to turn it over to him. But I just want you to think with me for a moment. When you think of Jesus Christ, do you think of Jesus the way the media shows him? The broken, the weak, the political insurgent who happened to get killed, or do you see him as the Bible shows him to be? As he shows himself to you, greater than anything he could communicate.
Amen.
Greater than all the ideas of the entire Old Testament. Greater than all the pictures that you ever saw in the temple. That one is the one we come to deal with tonight.
Amen.
Will you deal with that one who's greater? Amen.